Welcome to this virtual service at Westchester Chapel. Thanks for listening to this message that comes directly from God's Word. To hear more, visit westchesterchapel.org and click on Media. Now grab your Bible as we dig into it together.
You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. These words Paul wrote to Timothy, but I felt like they were for me. I felt God the Father calling me his child. Just the thought of Jesus, who made the way for us to be adopted into God's family, strengthens me. For the past 6 years, my husband Rick and I have been able to spend the winters together here in Florida with members of my biological family. Here, we have lived next to my sister Naomi and her husband John, and also my brother Vincent and his wife Minerva. I praise God because we are family, because of our earthly parents, but also because we have put our faith in God, we are also members of God's family. I am so grateful that our parents passed on their faith to us. That is all God's amazing grace to us. But things are changing, as often happens in life, just when you are getting comfortable. In this past year, my brother-in-law John, now in his 80s, has been suffering from a heart condition, and he has had multiple surgeries, and so they are moving to Texas to be near their daughter Wendy and her family. I see this as God's grace to provide for what they need in this season of their lives. And we have helped them to pack and prepare. And tomorrow, Lord willing, they will travel by plane to Dallas. In the middle of all this happening, Rick had a medical procedure, and most recently, he got COVID. But by God's grace, he is better. But all this has left me feeling very tired and very vulnerable, both physically and emotionally. I needed to be strengthened to continue the work that God has called me to, along with you, to make disciples, to use my gifts as part of this community, to teach, to pray, and to do some administrative tasks so the gospel can continue to go forth. I also needed to be strengthened to show love and care to my husband, to my family, and others God puts in my path. I want them to see the life of Christ in me, no matter the circumstances. And God's grace has strengthened me through your prayers, the proclamation of the word, and the fellowship with believers. You are all part of God's grace to me. And because of it, I can teach tonight, and I am grateful that I can be an instrument for the gospel to continue to go forth in word and in deed. Will you just close your eyes with me and receive this word as from our Heavenly Father today? You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that these your people would see your grace as we look into your word, and as we praise and as we pray, may we be strengthened today so that the work of the gospel will continue to go forth. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Let's just review before getting into today's verses. Paul writes this letter to Timothy while in prison, awaiting death. And so this letter is very personal. Heartfelt last words to Timothy. In it, Paul calls Timothy my beloved child. As a loving father, Paul starts his letter by encouraging Timothy. He tells Timothy that he is reminded of his sincere faith, a faith that was passed on to Timothy by his grandmother and mother, and also by Paul, who was like a father and a mentor to Timothy. In chapter 1, we also saw that Paul also recognizes the ancestors that served before him and set an example for him and others to come to faith. Here, Paul shows us that faith and service to God is something that is passed on from generation to generation, passed on by someone who came before. And this is not just done by speaking the truth of the gospel, but also by living out the gospel. And so we are here to live the gospel of Christ, which is the title of this series. So let's turn in our Bibles to today's text found in 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We know that Paul has shown himself to be faithful to the gospel, that which has been entrusted to him by God himself as an apostle or messenger of the gospel. And he also exhorts Timothy to guard the deposit, the sound words, the gospel message that has now been entrusted to Timothy. And so now we see in verse 2, Paul calls Timothy to entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Here Paul is urging Timothy to do for others what he, Paul, has done for him. As Paul faces death, he knows he can't be there with Timothy in the way he would want. He knows he may not be there and he may die. So Paul understands that the gospel can't just depend on him or any one person. So we see this sense of urgency in Paul's requests. We see that the church, past, present, and future, must work together to preserve the gospel by passing it on to the next generation. And this task of preserving the gospel is done through the faithful service of men and women. Last week, Pastor Joyce taught from the final verses in chapter 1. She taught how Paul used Onesiphorus as an example of a faithful or a loyal man. We know that when Timothy read this letter, it would not have been separated by the chapters and verses we have that help us to find our places. So this example used by Paul of a faithful one comes right before he tells Timothy to be strengthened in order to entrust the gospel to faithful men. And I think that also includes faithful women. Now here, Paul did not say anything about Onesiphorus having a teaching gift. But he did speak of his faithfulness. Onesiphorus demonstrated faith in God by the way he served Paul in prison, whether it was strengthening Paul physically with food he brought to the prison or by bringing supplies to Paul so he could continue to write and teach through his letters. We don't know exactly what he did for Paul. But what we do know is that he provided emotional and spiritual support at a time when Paul felt abandoned by all. And so his willingness to faithfully serve and use his God-given gifts allowed the gospel to go forth through God's messenger, Paul. In our community, there are many with gifts of teaching and preaching, but those messages cannot go forth for us in the community and beyond without the rest of us serving faithfully. For example, someone needs to send the Zoom links. Someone needs to host the meetings so we can join and hear the word. Others need to create and maintain the website. Others need to edit and post the messages that send the word out through the web to the nations indeed. And all of us can give, pray, and encourage our teachers so that the gospel message can go forth and be preserved. This gospel cannot depend on any one person. And we need to work as a community to serve and make sure it goes forth. What happens when you or I, when we are not around? Do we just want the work to stop? Do we just want to give up because times are hard? No. Of course not. Paul knows, and we know, this is hard work. The work of the gospel can only be done by the Holy Spirit. This work requires supernatural strength. That is why Paul reminds us of God's grace in all his letters, because it is the very life of Christ in the believer who has received the gift of salvation by grace that empowers and strengthens us to do the work that has been entrusted to us. But here in verse 1, we also see that Paul commands Timothy to be strengthened. So yes, while it is God that strengthens us, we have a part in it. We must choose to be strengthened by his grace. We must choose to follow his command. We must choose to trust and put our faith in Jesus Christ, believe and obey his word. We must choose to walk in alignment with his Holy Spirit. We must choose to maintain our personal relationship with the Lord, spend time in his presence, praying and asking him to search our hearts, meditating and studying his word, so that we can be empowered to do his work, strengthened to do his work. And we must also choose to participate in the community that God has provided by his grace to also help strengthen us. And so many of you do this, asking for prayers when needed, studying the word and worshiping together, so we can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We see that Paul was able to stay strong, faithful, even in the midst of severe persecution and threat of death, to entrust the gospel to faithful men and women. Because of faithful men and women who came before, and also because of faithful men and women who supported him in the ministry and were not ashamed of his chains in prison. And because of this, the gospel is passed on. And now, almost 2,000 years later, we still reap those benefits. Think about so many who have suffered and even died for the gospel, so we can now receive it. In Paul's time, many, including Nero, thought they could eliminate all those Christians who make up the Church of Christ. And when I say church here, I don't mean the building. I mean the people of God, those who have sincere faith, those who trust in God, those who have testimony of God's saving work. These are the sincere believers, the true church of God that is alive in Christ. Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And Paul wrote that Christ is able to guard that which he has entrusted to us until the day of Jesus Christ. And so our job is to work with God to preserve the gospel, the truth of the gospel, no matter the cost of suffering, no matter the shame others will try to bring on us. We are to stand on the truth of Jesus the Christ. Continue to boldly proclaim this truth. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. One day we may not be able to do the things we do now. One day we may be called to go home with Jesus. And so like Paul and like Timothy, we must entrust this message that was entrusted to us, so the good news of the gospel is passed on until the coming of Christ, so that everyone has an opportunity to turn to the truth of the gospel and be saved. We want everyone to know they can receive Jesus Christ, his forgiveness of sin through his death on the cross, and his new life by the Spirit. Those that do not receive and believe the gospel will fall under the judgment of a holy God. The alternative for unbelievers is eternal death, hell, separation from the life of God, and all that is good. These are the consequences for not receiving this gospel, and so we need to pass it on. This is the highest form of love for another, the desire for all to be saved and not perish. So how do we pass on this faith to the next generation? I'm going to share three ways. One is by being faithful to support our formal teaching ministries. We thank God for those in our community that study, pray, and spend time with God so they can teach and preach the word to us. And we thank God for the messages that are recorded so that they may go forth on our website out to the world and also be preserved for future generations. And we thank God for Melanie and Pastor Linda, who teach the community Bible study and also prepare curriculum and lesson plans to guide teachers now and for the future teachers to teach these foundational truths. And God is also moving us to the place of establishment to have a teaching center. And so we are all called to serve in supporting these teaching ministries that spread and preserve the gospel. Ask God how you can use your gifts to support the gospel. Another way to pass on the gospel is through our personal testimonies and everyday conversations about God. While we don't all have teaching gifts, we are all called to teach in the sense of telling others the good news of the gospel and sharing our personal stories of what Christ has done in our lives. We are not only to share our beliefs, but also our own experiences of God. And this includes being honest about the ways we struggle and how repentance works in our lives, so others can see your relationship with God and how you are growing in faith and drawing nearer to God. But speaking is not enough. We don't just teach with words. We must model, set an example. As a teacher, I know that modeling is probably the most powerful way to teach. Paul modeled for us, Timothy modeled for us, and we have pastors and community members and others who model for us. So in turn, we can learn to model the love and character of Christ so that others will want to follow Jesus. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." The reference here of how to teach obedience to God's command by the way we sit, by the way we walk along, lie down, and get up, is speaking about the daily routines of life. This is not just for parents with children. We are all responsible. And it is not just in church, but we must live the gospel of Christ in our everyday lives, in our homes, in our jobs, at the shopping mall, wherever. Loving God and others has to be an integral part of our everyday lives, because daily we have opportunities to be examples, models for others. Remember, others, and especially young people, are watching us. Do they see inconsistencies in what we say and what we actually do? Hypocrisy is one of the reasons many young people give for leaving the church. Young people must be taught the truth, but they must also see a genuine love for God and His people in us. Are we missing everyday opportunities to interact with others, including young people, in a positive way? Do we more often criticize young people rather than encourage them to be all that God has created them to be? Passing on our faith to the next generation means to live a life that demonstrates God's love and character, so those watching you will want to imitate you. And as I said before, it doesn't mean perfection. Trying to act like we are perfect when we are not is not being sincere. So it includes how we turn to God in our struggles and in times of need, and how we repent and ask for forgiveness from God and others when we are offended or have done something to hurt someone. And so be strengthened by God's grace. My mom had a plaque in the kitchen that said this: "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Let us pray. Thank you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the gospel that has been entrusted to us. We praise for this gospel, for it is your power, the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And we ask God for you to strengthen us by your grace to pass on this gospel to others, to the next generation, that none should perish. We ask God that you would show us the gifts that you have given us to help support this community to pass on the gospel. Help us to share our testimonies and experiences with you, God. Help us to live the life of Christ as an example for others. Help us to show your love to others so that they in turn would want to follow you and be your disciples. And we ask this all in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening. After hearing the message today, if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus or rededicate your life to Him, why not do it now? Pray with me right where you are. Lord Jesus, I turn from going my own way, and I choose to follow you. Forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross to cover them and rising again from the dead. I choose now to live for you, and I receive your life into mine. Amen. If you prayed with us, get in touch through our contact page at westchesterchapel.org. There you can find more information on how to grow in your faith and where we meet. We'd love to have you join us.